numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning. Tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer is here as well. How you doing, Kelly?
Hey, what's cracking?
What's happening?
Not much, man. Not much. Just winning some live bets last night. You know, that was good.
Oh, I won the preflop. I lost the live bet. We'll get into that. Patriots and Cardinals. We'll talk about that momentarily. Drew Dinsick will join us today. Talk NBA and NFL with us. Whale Capper from NBC Sports Bet the Edge. And, of course, the Deep Dive Podcast. Todd Wright, fantasy thoughts heading into your fantasy playoffs. Paul Carr on the World Cup. You betting the game today between Argentina and Croatia?
You know what? After my fantastic performance on Friday with Brazil,
yeah,
I think I'm just going to back off and enjoy the game.
You're done.
Yeah.
Can we get one more draw just for old time's sake today? Can we do that?
There you go. That'd be nice. Are you back on the draws?
I'm back on the draws.
Today and tomorrow?
I don't know about tomorrow, but today I am.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see.
I might tell what Paul's got. We'll see what Paul has to say.
He's the expert.
That's right.
Matter.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. That was hilarious. What was that, Friday? It was Friday, right?
We were both Brazil.
With the exact same Brazil bet. Gil and I, separate minds, coming together with the same bet.
We are stupid people. Pete Futak will join us. Talk college football bowls. Get his thoughts on the first week, anyway, of bowl games and what he's playing. The very tricky college football bowl season where you got to know who's in, who's out. That whole thing with Coastal Carolina, you see that yesterday? Grayson McCall say, yeah, I'm going to the transfer portal, but yeah, I'm playing. I had some analytics guys. I think Dr. Bob was like, oh, you got to play Coastal Carolina if he's playing, plus 13. But I don't know, like, if he's really playing, if he's going to the transfer portal. I mean, I don't know if that's happening.
I guess I didn't read up on all that. That's what he's planning on doing. He's planning on transferring, but playing in the bowl game first?
But legit, that's the kind of stuff you have to navigate in bowl season. I'm just using that as an example. It's like, sure, I'll play. No, should I don't know. Right? Like, you have no idea what's happening.
I mean, Grayson, if I could talk to you for a second. Grayson, let's talk. Why are you playing in the game, man? Don't go get hurt when your future's on the line. Don't play in a stupid bowl game. You're leaving the school anyways.
Precisely.
It's like dumping your girlfriend and then like, well, we still made plans for Valentine's Day a month from now, so let's still do that.
That is as good an analogy as we could possibly have today. That's your pro tip for the hour. Okay. Some news and notes first. By the way, in case you missed it this morning, Mike Leach has passed away at the age of 61, of course, famously the coach throughout his career of Texas Tech, Washington State, and most recently at Mississippi State. The architect of the air raid offense for which he was known, he named it himself because he knew it would be marketable if he gave it a name, which is just, you know, so great for such a colorful guy who was really just as known for being the character off the field that he was as a coach who had a coaching tree, quite frankly, that sprung Sonny Dykes, Cliff Kingsbury, Josh Heupel, Lincoln Riley, among others, 158-107 in his 21 seasons as a head coach. But really, again, more than just his coaching record, one of the great characters that have made college football such a great slice of Americana through the years, and the sport is diminished with the passing, again, of Mike Leach this morning at the age of 61, complications due to a heart condition.
Yeah, it's sad to hear about it. I mean, you just said it so well, Gil, but this is a guy that was, such a big figure in college football, and I think especially for people like me that are not the biggest college football guys on the planet and can get tired of some of the same old characters and acts in college football, this guy was always different, right? It was always different personality-wise, always different from what he did on the field and off the field. Sad to see him go today.
Yeah. When Donald Trump was elected president, he said to Trump, can I be your secretary of offense? He sent him that message. When a streaker went on the field, he famously said, I miss streakers. And his rant about candy, an innocent question after a game about Halloween candy, went on. It was a 5-minute soliloquy.
Yeah.
It's one of the great things. We pass on our best at the network to his family. Mike Leach at the age of 61, passing away. Pro football news. Wide receiver, there's no artful way to segue in other stuff, but we will do our best here. Wide receiver signing news, not Odell Beckham Jr., apparently everybody else but Odell Beckham Jr., Kelly. Yeah. Cole Beasley comes out of retirement to sign with his former team, the Buffalo Bills. And then we have T.Y. Hilton signing with the Cowboys, And I guess the mainstream media infatuation with Odell Beckham Jr. now falls off a cliff a bit. They're finally understanding that this is not the biggest story in the world wherever he goes.
Yeah, I guess. And that was always confusing a little bit to me. And only because of kind of what we heard last from the Cowboys is we just don't know what his health. Everybody seemed to be assuming his health was not going to be a factor. And this is still a guy coming off an injury from last year. It sounds like he's not really going to be ready for the playoffs. And I don't know how many teams are really willing to gamble on a guy that at his age, with the injuries he's been through, gamble on bringing him in for a playoff run. Now, I don't really know if T.Y. Hilton and we're about to get to Cole Beasley coming back to the Bills. I don't know how great of an impact they'll make either. I think Cole Beasley probably makes a bigger impact in Buffalo just with the knowledge of the system and Josh Allen and everything. It's interesting to see, people kicking the tires on some of these wide receivers.
The other note is that Jeff Saturday says that Matt Ryan will remain the Colts starting quarterback, which is news that I'm sure everybody was waiting to not hear. But that'll be the case in Indianapolis. Where they're going, I have no idea, but it'll be Matt Ryan. Frank Reich was not allowed to start Matt Ryan as starting quarterback, but apparently Jeff Saturday is carte blanche.
That is still so bizarre to me.
Okay, the game last night, New England wins this 27-13 over the Cardinals. And the reason we're sort of nonchalanting into the intro of this game last night is because it wasn't really, wasn't quite the masterpiece, was it? But New England gets it done. I don't want to say New England gets it done. Arizona figured out a way to lose this. Because New England looked terrible in the first half. And the game was really marred by injuries left and right. The headliner of which, of course, in case you missed it, the Cardinals, Kyler Murray, third play from scrimmage in this game. He runs 3 yards on a 1st-and-10, goes down untouched, hurt, carted off. They'll find out the extent of the injury today, but it is pretty much known to all, fait accompli, they say, that it is a blown-out knee, torn ACL. And so if that's the case, that doesn't have implications, only for the rest of this year, but into next season for the Cardinals, which is just, say what you will, again, just sympathetic to Kyler Murray and his injury. Just an abject disaster for that franchise as well, given the contract.
Yeah, given the contract, reports of him kind of being in tears in the tunnel in the locker room, I think probably tells you everything you need to know, about the injury. But, it's rough for Kyler. It's rough for this franchise. You've got questions about the head coach already. And now what? If you make a coaching change at some point, you're going to bring in a coach that, what wasn't on the Kyler Murray bandwagon about, at least bringing him into the franchise, and then you're going to have to deal with working through, a backup quarterback for a while until Kyler can get back. It's a tough situation for Arizona that could set him back here a bit for a couple years.
Marco Wilson got hurt for the Cardinals as well a little later. James Conner did, but came back. The Patriots had a spate of injuries in the game as well in the first half. The first half was just a MASH episode. Devontae Parker went down with a concussion. He did not return. Ramondre Stevenson went down with a leg injury. He did return briefly and then didn't for the rest of the game, and the Patriots just made do without. And then, of course, Jack Jones on defense, he got hurt, didn't come back. But the Patriots got it done. This game really turned. It was 13-7, Kelly, in favor of the Cardinals, and they had a 4th-and-1 at the New England 32 in the closing minute of the first half. And Cliff Kingsbury, who we just mentioned as part of that Mike Leach coaching tree, but has had all kinds of problems as a Cardinals coach, famously discussed here and all throughout our network. He had one timeout in pocket. He didn't seem to know what to do with it. Then it was like, okay, well, you should just wait till the final seconds here and then decide if you're going to kick a long field goal. I get it. He didn't have confidence in Matt Prater from that distance because Prater's long this year. I think he's 49. That would have been exactly 49. And so then he made the mistake of calling it with 36 seconds left. And they failed to convert the 4th-and-1 because Colt McCoy in for Murray underthrew a little dink pass to the sideline that would have gotten them the yard. It got tipped down. And then the Patriots were able to matriculate in that little time to get a field goal to make it 13-10. Then they opened the second half. The Patriots had a big drive. They got them another field goal. You could kind of tell Belichick knew how you could tell how confident Belichick was when he decided to kick the chip shot field goal to tie it instead of going for it. And then there was the big, where the score really turned was the...
I thought the same thing, Gil. That's when they kicked the field goal, I thought it was Belichick feeling confident, but I almost felt it was a little overconfident where it's like, dude, your offense haven't been able to do anything.
Yeah, but then DeAndre Hopkins, of all people, just carrying the ball like a loaf of bread. It gets knocked out of his hand by Kyle Duggar. Raekwon McMillan to the house, scoop and score, 20-13. Another pick on the subsequent drive on when Josh Uche hit. Colt McCoy, Uche had three sacks yesterday. This was just a hit that forced a duck. That was picked, and then the Patriots matriculated. Pierre Strong, who had a good game, strong game, if you will, three-yard touchdown, 27-13. And then it was just three and outs and turnovers on downs the rest of the way. Patriots get it done. But here's the story. Now, Patriots are in the number seven hole with four games remaining in the AFC. Do you have any confidence in this team to get there?
None at all.
I don't either. They seem to, listen, and about the Patriots-Raiders game this coming week, you really can't assess it till you know, even though they did such a great job of just filling in for everybody who was hurt yesterday, you really can't jump into the fray yet before you know who's playing. That's a lot of injuries for them.
They're another one of these teams this year where it is, you've got an offense or a defense, but you don't have the other, right? They got a good defense. Their offense is horrible.
3 weeks ago, I did this thing on the show where I said, we already know the 14 playoff team. And I'm just curious, we're going to keep looking at this. I did this on November 22nd, I believe. So when teams had played 10 or 11 games, and I want to see how it plays out to the end of the year. AFC, I had Bills, Dolphins, Chiefs, Chargers, Ravens, Bengals, Titans. So the only difference right now would be Chargers in over the Patriots, which I still think happens based on schedule. And then the NFC, Eagles, Cowboys, Commanders, Vikings, Bucks, because they play in the bad division, Niners, and Seahawks. Seahawks the only one on the outside looking in. Curious to see if this gets home in the end.
Yeah, we'll keep track of it.
Yeah, we'll see. Coming back, Drew Densick on the other side. NBA and NFL. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app. That's the BetMGM sports app, of course. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and so much more. Just download the BetMGM app today. Won't take you but a few seconds. Then stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Let Texas Bet, who's been tweeting us a lot lately. We always appreciate it. He said, I'm devastated, Gil. The man, talking about Mike Leach, is to me what Joe Gibbs seems to be to you. Mike Leach football is my childhood, and Kent Arhans is my Daniel Snyder. Not the start I wanted to the day. Hashtag RIP Mike Leach. Jason H11, ever notice when Kelly Bidlin goes on a rant, his face changes about five different shades of red? Midland Bidlin, he says. You got
what was that ranting about?
You got a burgundy in there, Kelly. You got a scarlet.
Hey, man, I'm a colorful guy.
You are a colorful guy.
What was I ranting about? I saw that tweet. I don't even know what I was ranting about.
I don't know. You're always popping off about something.
Yeah, I guess.
This is college basketball. So this happened. I want to, just to be thorough, before guessing lines yesterday, right before this Chris Beard story came down, head coach of the University of Texas. And we didn't really want to get into it because we didn't know all the details at that point. Plus, we were doing Guessing Lines, which has its own podcast, version as well. So we didn't want to sort of have that randomly inserted into a podcast. But the story has sort of fleshed out today where Texas now suspending coach Chris Beard after his arrest on assault charges. The school suspending him without pay, quote, until further notice. Associate head coach Rodney Terry served as the acting head coach as the Longhorns needed overtime to beat Rice last night, 87-81. But if you look at the details of this, this involves his fiance, Kelly, and involves strangling.
Yeah, I read a little bit about that today. Doesn't sound great.
That's no. Sure. And once you hear that word, you kind of wonder if he's ever going to coach again.
Yeah.
Certainly not there, if ever. So that's a story that is brewing out of college basketball implications where coaches matter so much. Chris Beard on the short list of great coaches usually considered, right? Typically, conventional wisdom considered one of the great coaches in college basketball. And a lot of people have tickets on Texas to win it all. And to say that that will have some impact would be an understatement for sure. Real quick before we go to Drew, I mentioned this just before the break. 3 weeks ago. We'll just sort of update this. We're just for giggles. We just want to see if this ends up playing out. So teams had played either 10 or 11 games at this point, Kelly. So by the time the season ends, it will be just over the halfway mark of the season. And you have like Aaron Schatz at Football Outsiders and everybody projecting who they think the 14 playoff teams will be. I'm curious if at the 10-11 game mark, if you legitimately can determine, like, and as we go in here every day and we talk about this and that and the other thing with the NFL, if it's actually pretty well known, of those lists that I just mentioned, AFC and NFC, which is the one that's not going to get there on either side?
Oh, man. All right. I think the AFC is looking pretty good.
Me too.
Bills,
Dolphins, Chiefs, Chargers, Ravens, Bengals, Titans. Apologies to the Patriots, Jets, and anybody else.
I'm going to say Seahawks right now. Don't get there.
Think that would be the one that's the shakiest.
Yeah.
I don't know if Drew Densick has any thoughts. Drew Densick, ladies and gentlemen, at @whale_capper from both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast at NBC Sports. Good morning to you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning to you guys. And I share Kelly's concern about the Seahawks.
Yeah, that's the one, huh?
Sure feels like we're hitting the rookie wall. But at the same time, Niners, they effectively have the NFC West locked up now. Rerunning my numbers, with the kind of current team ratings, I'm getting close to 96% chance that they win that division, even with Brock Purdy potentially, one shot away from seeing Josh Johnson take the field. It still looks pretty pretty likely that the Niners are going to pull this off. Obviously, on the wrong side of that one.
When you say rookie wall for the Seahawks, what are you referring to specifically?
Well, the entire arc of the Seahawks season, I felt like, was kind of buoyed by the fact that they got unusually amazing production out of the secondary players that they drafted last year, as well as the tackles that they drafted last year. They swung on, swung on two tackles who they put into starting roles, two cornerbacks they put into starting roles, the performance level of play from those guys has slipped. This shouldn't be something that would be unexpected, really. It's a long season. It's a huge adjustment going from a college schedule to an NFL schedule, and it's pretty amazing to see rookies get the kind of roles and responsibilities that they were given early on. So, not entirely blaming that in terms of the recent slippage in performance here, but certainly the defensive side of the ball has been quite poor lately. They were getting pushed off the ball to the degree that we haven't seen very many teams outside of the dregs against the Panthers this last weekend. That was a rough watch in the second half, particularly that fourth quarter, where the Seahawks have been so good all season long. They were just not competitive, really. Couldn't get the ball back. Couldn't even stop was it Raheem Blackshear? Yes. Practice squad player that the Panthers had picked up from the Bills. Like, it was not a good showing from them in a game that had huge implications. So this Thursday looms large, and I don't really know what there is to gain here. I mean, the Niners can put away the division, so they're going to try. They're going to they're going to give it 100%, I would guess. But you're certainly not going to put some of your players who are questionable, I think, at risk on a short week like this. The Niners are dealing with a cluster injury right now in the defensive backfield, on the defensive line. The offensive line, we know, for the Niners hasn't been kind of top half of the league, really, outside of Trent Williams. And so if Brock Purdy's back there, he's dealing with any kind of limitations or injuries, and Seahawks can get a little bit of pressure, play up in this game. I do like them catching 3.5 points, but this is sort of hoping to capture one final winning play here with the Seahawks before they probably ride into the sunset. Even if they do make the playoffs at this point, I'm not expecting great things.
Yeah, it's three home games for the Niners, but it's home Niners here Thursday. Drew likes the Seahawks plus the points. Then it's at the Chiefs, then it's home Jets, home Rams. So until that last game, a tough road to hoe, as they say. What do you like on Sunday, or Saturday, I should say, on Sunday?
Saturday's games look pretty great. And just in terms of betting, I took Cleveland at 2.5. That's out to 3. I think realistically, if you're trying to time your market entry, you're not really inclined to rush and lay three with Cleveland. There's a chance that there is positive news this week on the, from the practice side of things, that Lamar Jackson is practicing, in which case this becomes like a pick'em. I mean, if he goes, it's a pick'em. But if, you know, if he, even if he's practicing, you're probably going to see this dip back down to 2.5. You may have another shot at that. I think Minnesota similarly, home. I guess I'm just laying the home chalk all Saturday. Actually, I like Minnesota. I like Minnesota laying 4, and I like Buffalo laying 7.5. I think all three home teams are in a really decent spot. Minnesota's case is not especially complicated. They have the best, you know, the best combination of QB wide receiver going right now. Justin Jefferson is just on another level. And I think realistically bouncing back against an Indianapolis team that, you know, just is, I have rated among the bottom 5 in the NFL right now, I think this is a decent spot for Minnesota to bounce. And then Buffalo similarly taking on a Miami team that is, you know, has hit a very significant lull on the basis of Waddle not being 100% healthy, and Tyreek Hill not being 100% healthy. Tyreek Hill being a little bit schemed out of some of these games just based on the fact that if you only have one of those two dynamic players, you can, you know, you can put more attention on Hill. You can be more physical with him. The refs have been letting that go the last couple of weeks. And, you know, it's not a great respite for two tough road losses on the West Coast is turning around and flying up to cold Buffalo, Minnesota for a night game on Saturday. So I really struggle to see how Miami bounces back in this spot. There's just kind of too many questions now being asked about performance you're getting out of Tua, combined with some of the injuries at the wide receiver position, that that's expecting that offense is going to just be able to reemerge and go shot for shot with Buffalo. I don't see it.
Yeah, Dolphins got the worst of that scheduling quirk when they got a Saturday game after the West Coast games. And with the Minnesota game, let me just ask you real quick, is that just a case of you just deciding the market has, the pendulum has swung too much on the Vikings here? We get it. They're not as good as their record, but 4, come on.
Yeah, exactly. That's almost exactly it. And I think Colts, if this was a neutral game and the Colts were not coming off a bye, you'd probably see 6 here, I would guess. I think the Vikings are a hair better than an average team as currently constituted. And, you know, maybe we'll say 1 point better than average. And I don't think the Colts are, you know, within about 4 points of an average right now, just based on some of the attrition to that roster and the way that they're performing under Jeff Saturday. And I don't really know how the bye helps them. So I think Minnesota's the right side there.
All right. Drew says they're giving away money on Saturday in the NFL, ladies and gentlemen. Just giving it away. It's a favorite fest. We'll come back with his Sunday thoughts and maybe some NBA thoughts. Last week he had 6 games in the NBA when he was on. I think he did very well on those 6, by the way. We'll find out what Drew's thinking tonight. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
College Bowl season is about to kick off. VSiN has you covered with this year's College Football Bowl Guide. This year's guide is picks on the spread and totals of every bowl game. You got VSiN's experts in there, Brent Musburger in there for sure, Steve Mackinnon in there with power rankings for every team. It breaks down the motivational factors that affect bowl games. Josh Applebaum, Benita. We'll give insight into bowl betting strategy, and Adam Burke can help give you an advantage, I should say, if you're part of bowl confidence pools. Those are always very cool. Give yourself an edge. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to check out the College Football Bowl Betting Guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Kelly, I mentioned this in the first segment, but I didn't give the details afterwards. I was saying, oh, we hit the pre-flop. We talked about yesterday how I was like, oh, I'm all in on New England. I'm betting way more than I thought I would. But I think everybody can relate to, you know, we talk about how in-game is, you know, typically better because you can see what teams are doing. Certainly college football, it's the greatest manifestation of that because college football reveals itself quicker than any other sport. Well, yesterday was one of those situations, again, when Kyler Murray goes down, I immediately and kind of stupidly, I was like, oh, I'm betting the Patriots first half.
Yeah, you went first half. I went full game.
I already had the full game, and I was like, well, you know what? I'm gonna bet this now. I don't know what, you know, but in those little moments, as bettors, we're all fallible. We all have these moments where we overreact to things. And it only took a couple plays for me in my head to be like, oh, yeah, I forgot Cole McCoy's probably even better than him. You know, like So that was just a mistake on my part. Didn't get the first half. Obviously, it wasn't as big of a bet as the full game. But still, one of those moments where you do something that if you sort of took a pause to think about, you might not do, instead of just rushing to do so. So that was definitely an error on my part yesterday. I'm curious if anybody else did that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the in-game handicap was still kind of right. I just don't know if you made the right bet.
Here's the thing. It was, like you're talking about the Patriots getting there. I mean, a scoop and a score.
Oh, it definitely took some luck. But that's also what you're – I mean, no, you're not betting on fumbles, right? But you were kind of betting on that, right? What I texted you was in theory – We talked about the coaching mismatch that you had in that game, and in theory,
yes,
a quarterback going out, I think Belichick adjusting to a backup quarterback gives him even more of an advantage than Cliff Kingsbury changing his entire game plan
100%.
For Colt McCoy.
And that's why I made the additional bet, exactly for that reason. And yes, you can argue that you know, Belichick figured it out by you know what, they had a million screen passes. That was their old strategy last night. So, yes, you can argue that manifested. I'm going to try to be as honest as I can and just say the bet worked out. I don't know if that handicap manifested.
Yeah.
The bet worked out. And I'll just say it as a just continuing theme to my NFL season. And Las Vegas Chris and I had a bit of an exchange on text about this yesterday. I've never felt any season in any sport, and Lord knows I've handicapped a bunch of seasons in a bunch of sports through the years. And by bunch, I mean seems like thousands. Not quite, but you know what I mean. I've never felt like more outcomes had less to do with me than this NFL season, either to the good or to the bad. So some of my wins have just been fortunate as all get out, as have the losses. That's just my thought. I'm curious. Again, Drew Didsick joins us from the Bet the Edge and Deep Dive podcast. I'm not, you know, I don't, maybe I'm being prisoner of the moment there. Drew, I'm curious your thoughts on that.
I would agree with your sentiment that this has been the coin flippy NFL season that I can remember. And I think, you know, people who don't bet would go there, right?
Yeah.
I think people would say that parity is reigning supreme this season. We're going to end up with more second choices winning their divisions in the NFC than first choices by a lot. In fact, it may be 3 out of 4 of second choices end up winning the divisions. It's rare that you have that much turnover year over year. Even, you know, as a division winners, we know that like you have usually six in, six out playoff spots. You know, at least at the very top, it's not usually that unpredictable. And then, yeah, like the actual, even recently, last week you had Lamar Jackson go out in game that completely flipped what was one of the better long teaser legs you're going to ever have in your life with Baltimore and Denver. And then, you know, this week, you know, Kenny Pickett goes out and, you know, on the first drive against, with the Steelers against Baltimore. And that, in my opinion, that completely flipped that game. So it's, you know, weird stuff like that happening in Kyler Murray's, you know, same thing, like, you know, quarterbacks going out early, you're never going to predict that. And that just adds more uncertainty to, what is already, you know, a very difficult handicap. I mean, it's been a tough year in the NFL, for a lot of reasons. And I mean, recently, since about week 10, I've been quarter staking because it's just, there's not huge edges. We were kind of, I could tell you were, hopefully the listeners can tell you were tongue in cheek about they're giving away free money on Saturday.
Yes, they do.
No free money. Yes. There's no free money in the NFL.
This audience is aware of such sarcasm, yes.
Yeah. And there's a long discussion to be had, really, just about the product overall. Last night's game was a rough hang.
Yes.
I thought Sunday night's game was a rough hang. There are a lot of primetime standalone games that you can point to that were just like, what are we doing here? It's been a weird year. I don't really know what the answer, you know, what's going on to drive us here. But, you know, hopefully things, at least the playoff field looks extremely competitive, which is fun.
Yes. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, seriously, you can make a case for a bunch of the NFC teams to come out of the NFC, which is cool. And again, you know, I think we're looking at sort of two standalone favorites in the AFC, but, you know, a lot of plucky, young, unexpected, not unexpected, but just unknowns that could kind of break to the good at the, you know, in the latter half of the AFC. So it's going to be a fun playoffs, I think. And hopefully that's a little bit redemptive of the quality of the product this season.
Well, this might be an awkward question to ask now, but do you have anything on Sunday then real quick before we get to
Yeah. In the spirit of kind of trying to capture some of the variance, I took two home dogs. Chicago, I think, is getting way too many points at +9 against Philadelphia. Yeah, I get it. Philadelphia are world beaters, but Chicago at least kind of has a very competent running attack. And if there's anything Philadelphia's defense has not entirely solved, it is that. So I think Chicago can go punch for punch for at least a portion of this game, keep it competitive, and, you know, hopefully sneak in this closing total that is outside of one score. Similarly, I think Jacksonville Jaguars are in a good spot, not just on the basis of their offense is clicking, but Dallas is coming into this game with a long laundry list of injuries, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, that is, I think, really has Dallas in kind of a precarious spot here. Not just in precarious spot in terms of playoffs. They're going to get into the playoffs. They're going to be your five seed. I wouldn't really sweat any of that, but certainly I think, a loss here puts them that much more difficult for them to capture NFC East and improve their playoff fortunes. So both the dogs that are going up against our mighty NFC East teams, I think, are worth a bet on Sunday. And then to round out my card, I'm going to take the over with the Chargers and the Titans game. That one was 45. It's trending towards 47. I think 47 is almost fair. 47.5 would have been my expectation for that market. I think you have strength versus weakness for both offenses against their, you know, their complementary defenses. So expecting that one to be a little bit more of a wide open contest with plenty of points. So that'll be fun.
All right. And then NBA tonight, what did you play?
Oh my goodness. I played everything.
Literally everything.
I have a bet on every game.
All right.
Are we on the Cavs? You on the Cavs?
No.
Pelicans. I'm sorry.
Cavs aren't playing.
The Cavs aren't playing.
I was telling Gil during
the break. I was like, I'm looking at the card today for today, and I had to text Drew if I was missing something in this Pelicans line. For he's a fellow member of Team Fade the Jazz right now. It's been working out pretty well for us. I thought this line was 2 to 3 points off, Drew. So I'm in on the Pelicans tonight, and seemingly bettors are battling back and forth on this line this morning as I see it keep popping from 1.5 to 2.5, back to 1.5, back to 2.
Yeah, I got 1.5 here. I'm happy with that. I think I agree with your sentiment. This should be about a 3.5-point spread. I think people are expecting Utah is going to somehow manifest the altitude advantage, and I think people think New Orleans is tired, but they're so deep. And yes, no Brandon Ingram tonight for them, but absolutely love the way that the Pelicans are playing right now. That's a top three team in the Western Conference in my mind. So give me the Pelicans at a short road fave. I laid 5 with Philadelphia against Sacramento. My fare there was 6.5. I doubled down on Golden State, so I took the +4 and I bet them on the money line. I think Golden State gets the better of Milwaukee in that contest. I'm expecting Draymond Green to go. I know he's probable. If there's a surprise and Green sits, then I'm in trouble on that one. You may get a better price on that too if Drew Holiday is ruled in as we get closer to tip. That might come back to 4 if you're waiting for the best price on that one. I took the dogs in the Houston Rockets against the Phoenix Suns. No Devin Booker in this contest. Phoenix's offense has been pretty uninspiring in his absence. And I think Houston is, they put together a couple of nice results lately on the basis of rest advantage. And this is another rest advantage spot for Houston that I think they can capitalize on. And we mentioned it. I laid it with the Pelicans. And I took the points with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Celtics got housed last night by the Clippers. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're in a bad spot rest-wise. I wouldn't be surprised if a bunch of guys are not playing tonight.
Drew Dinsick, betting the NBA schedule. Thank you, Drew. At @whale_capper for Drew. Bet the Edge, Deep Dive Podcast. Fantasy football next with Todd Wright.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game, and if your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM. authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game, that is. And if your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. That simple. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Kelly, we work in an industry where sometimes people are not generous. They don't give credit to others when they come up with terms and such, and then it proliferates throughout, and people aren't gracious enough to say, oh, that's the first guy that said this. You know the first guy who used to refer to the NBA as the association, sort of colloquially in sports media, was?
Who that?
Todd Wright.
Oh.
At least I'm giving
that guy.
Let's see if he accepts credit for that. Maybe he'll tell me I'm wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest radio host there ever was, Todd Wright. Host of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast and, of course, the Todd Wright Toddcast. How you doing, Todd?
I'll take the credit until I started doing it on All Night with Todd Wright on ESPN Radio. I never heard anyone use the singular name, and it was just having too much time on my hands. My flight delays weekly in Tampa and Hartford, Connecticut. I was sitting on a delayed plane. I think we were de-icing on the tarmac, and I just thought about something. I said, okay, the NFL – has the word league. Major League Baseball has the word league. The NHL has the word league. The NBA does not. They are an association, and it went from there.
I was like, I'd be listening at like 2 in the morning, Kelly, after a slow jam, and it came me on. I'd be like, who's this guy calling him the association? I was like, I love this guy. All right, Todd, let's talk some fantasy football. Most leagues headed to their postseason, and I would imagine that folks who have Tyreek Hill have relied on him tremendously. What is the story, and how would you play this?
Yeah, well, you're playing him as long as he's active. So as of right now, Gil, we have good news and we have bad news. The good news is that Mike McDaniel at least now is saying Hill can work through it. It's more bumps and bruises and soreness and nothing serious. Okay, so that's the good news, considering Hill has touched the ball a ridiculous 106 times the first 14 weeks of the season. And statistically, the fumble recovery doesn't count. It counted for 6 fantasy points. It counts for a touchdown for the Dolphins, but it doesn't count as a touch. Here's the bad news. Saturday's weather in Buffalo calls for snow. There's no movement to move this game as we moved an earlier Buffalo game. So how effective would Tyreek Hill even be healthy if the field is covered in snow? And based on the weather conditions, we really don't have a lot to go on. I don't know of a Tyreek Hill snow game. I don't know how it would affect him, what sorts of cleats he wears, etc. So the good news is he's healthier than we thought he might be. The bad news is the weather forecast. We got a long way to go.
Todd, this is a parenthetical aside. Has nothing to do with our conversation, but you always have little nuggets that you share. That hat, is that a Las Vegas Bowl hat you're wearing right there? Is that what you're promoting?
Yes, I got it from Las Vegas Bowl Media Day, which was what, just a couple of weeks ago. And you know, Gil, I wasn't able to get out there, because of flight complications. But one of the golfers in Todd Wright Tour 39 last weekend, who's in the media, was at Las Vegas Bowl Media Day, gave me this hat. It has not left my head since the golf tournament.
That's even showering. That's awesome. That's sort of odd, but okay. Listen, Raiders may not get to the playoffs, but Josh Jacobs has certainly helped teams that have rostered him, fantasy owners that have rostered him, get there. It's a bad matchup for him this week, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and I say matchups are completely overrated in fantasy football, but I do acknowledge that Jacobs, who's carried the ball 110 times over the last 4 games, is one of the top 2 or 3 running backs all season in fantasy football, going up against Bill Belichick and the top run defense, even on a short week for New England, is something that owners of Josh Jacobs don't want in these fantasy playoffs. Look, you're not sitting him, but you have to lower your expectations. He's probably going to be a little more touchdown dependent if the Raiders get down inside the 5-yard line, or for some reason you're hoping Belichick takes away Devontae Adams, as long as you don't owe him, and not so much Josh Jacobs. But I think you and I both think it'll be Belichick's focus to control Josh Jacobs in this football game.
Yeah, but as you say, you can't sit him, which is a question I would ask about a guy like Christian Watson, which is a little less reliable, a little more volatile. Obviously, this touchdown spree that he's on, if you have better options, are you still playing him? What's your approach to him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy you've just the last month, you've had to get him in the lineup because he's on this streak. He scored 8 touchdowns in his last 4 games, and amazingly, on a team with Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and A.J. Dillon, Watson is the clear fantasy play for a Packers team that's been a disappointment all year. His Monday Night Football appearance should give owners – I always like having somebody in a head-to-head situation on Monday night, Gil, because if the other team is in the clubhouse, I can gain points or I've already won the game. So this is a great guy to have. I don't know a better guy fantasy-wise to play in the Monday night game in Week 15 than Christian Watson.
Okay, this is sort of a tried and true fantasy football thing from year to year where, you know, those who don't make the playoffs, obviously there's varying reasons. If you listen to most fantasy owners, they'll tell you, oh, I have so many injuries, like that's, you know, unique to them. But typically also, the biggest thing is they refuse to cut their losses on bad draft picks when someone far better is just sitting out there they can have for free. Who's that guy this year?
Early on, it was Geno Smith. But right now, for people throwing up their hands, oh, Lamar's not coming back. I just lost Kyler Murray. What do I do? Trevor Lawrence is what you do. He's available in nearly 30% of Yahoo leagues. And in my 21st century standard scoring settings, on the season, he's QB8. He's ahead of guys like Herbert, Tua, Cousins, Kyler, and Tom Brady. And being based here in Tampa, I can tell you, Gil, and I've tried to tell people on my podcast in Tampa Bay for 2 months, cut the cord on Tom Brady, upgrade to Geno Smith, upgrade to Justin Fields, upgrade to Trevor Lawrence, or you're going down with the same ship the Buccaneers are going down on.
Trevor Lawrence, 10 touchdowns, no picks his last 5 games. What about this kid, Zonovan Knight, with the Jets, who even the casual football fan is like, wait, who's this guy?
Gil, I never roster Jets in fantasy football. Never.
That's a policy.
But a month ago, I needed to pick up a running back. So I picked up Zonovan Knight. And much like this hat on my head, Zonovan Knight has not left my lineup for 3 weeks. He's touched the ball 56 times for 296 yards and a touchdown. I've been starting him as my RB2. That will not change this week, obviously, against the Lions. You know what, Gil? The chaos of the Jets quarterback position only adds more relevance tonight as a fantasy play for owners like me as the fantasy playoffs begin. And I have no idea why Zonovan Knight is still available as we speak in 45% of Yahoo leagues.
All right, Todd, I want to know how you did in your leagues this year and really more specifically, because I know when I have one, I don't play fantasy anymore, but when I did, the few championships that I had, there was always some guy that I'll never forget for the rest of my life because he was some random dude who made big or had big games down the stretch. How did you do in your leagues? Who was that guy for you if you did well?
I'm doing okay. I'm alive, right? We won't know who wins the leagues until week 17, but I'm alive as I talk to you here in week 15. And sure, I could say Jalen Hurts in one league is my MVP, or I could say Patrick Mahomes is my MVP in another league, make a case for what Ramondre has done until last night. But you know who it is, Gil? Because he wasn't drafted in many of my leagues. I picked him up on waivers in one of my leagues. I traded for him a month later in one of my leagues. And he scored a touchdown in a franchise best, 6 straight games receiving touchdown for a team that was left for dead to start this season. And that's Tyler Lockett. And if it wasn't for Tyler Lockett, I would not be in the fantasy playoffs, and I would not have a chance to win any or all of my fantasy leagues. So Tyler Lockett should step to the middle of the ring and say to all fantasy football owners, just like Roman Reigns would, fantasy football owners, acknowledge me. Because Tyler Lockett is a wide receiver 1 through 14 weeks of the season, And I'm just hoping he can keep it up for three more weeks.
Todd, always great to see you. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Gil.
Todd Wright, everybody. Greatest radio host there ever was. You know who my fantasy guy was for years who got me titles? Ruben Drones.
Okay.
Remember that dude?
Yeah.
Ruben Drones. By the way, it may sound callous, it may sound cold, but injuries can provide great live betting opportunities, and also they could stub your toe on them. You should look to take advantage in those situations. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN, and every show does one. That's 20 every day at least. They're available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. World Cup with Paul Carr next.